Hey everyone, Will Cooper here, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of hunting and outdoor pursuits. We've brought together some of the most accomplished individuals in the industry to share their invaluable insights and experiences with you. But here's the kicker. It's not just about hunting tips and tactics. We're exploring how you can carve your own path, elevate your skills, and gain some wisdom from the best in the field. So whether you're a seasoned hunter looking to fine-tune your skills or a newbie eager to learn, our podcast has something for everyone. Stay tuned for more exciting guests and hotter topics. Don't miss out and subscribe to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast today and start making your mark in the great outdoors.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Testing. Testing. Can you hear me? I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
Just fine, yep. And we are rolling.
Cool. So is goose hunting legal in the Netherlands or not?
I think it is. The article that I found.
Goose shooting is legal.
Well, like I said, there's depredation permits. Mm-hmm. But the link that I sent you, you know what? I should just say this. I'll put it in the show notes. But there is, the website is huntingpro.com.
Did you see one decoy on that website?
WYX.
Did you see them hunting over a decoy?
.com. No.
No, you didn't. Ramsey Russell, you had it up there for a second. Now it's down.
Well.
And I found some articles about Ramsey Russell that weren't very nice.
Oh, really?
In the Dutch newspapers. when I was researching.
Was he the one that was doing the gas chambers? That could be why.
No. That's an actual dude from the Netherlands. That's in the New York Times. They have a piece on him.
Well, I guess the thing to do would be to contact them and send them an email and see and get the scoop directly from them. Wait, hold on. You can do some wild boar hunts.
Yeah, they actually have pheasants are legal. Mallards are legal. There's certain game species that are legal. And geese, there's geese in there.
Hunting photos, but I don't
there's
see.
There's dead goose photos.
They might. Maybe they don't hunt over decoys. Maybe they don't have to. It's illegal too. Is it really?
Yeah, and I can't remember what country it is. It might be the Netherlands, but the decoys are registered with the state.
Oh, that's so weird.
It is weird, yeah. So Europe is like this fucking wild west, dude. It is the wild, wild west over there. The Netherlands, there's some estimates that it's got over 2 million geese wintering in the Netherlands right now.
Well, I don't speak Dutchanese, but that's what this whole thing is. But this guy's got some Egyptian geese there, which on their website says they don't get very many of them, but they do get some every year.
Yeah, there's some resident populations in Germany, too.
They shoot the geese in the morning, and they shoot pigeons in the afternoon. It looks like a nice lodge. I could stay there.
Yeah, Europe seems to be like, either hunting is illegal, or you can hunt 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, and there's no limits. And you can use piles of corn, you can use calling ducks,
but you can't use decoys.
It just depends. There's so many countries clustered up right next to each other.
Yeah.
Like, if you go down that coastline, like, where Sweden's swooping down right there, like, just across that little strait there, you got Estonia, Kaliningrad, Poland, Germany, the Netherlands, Denmark, and all of them have their own, like, regulation structures. Like, you go into, like, the Eastern Bloc countries, they got really good hunting, too. It's something to really look into. I don't know,
because
right
so.
Now,
I
dude,
mean,
they are about as organized as like the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service if it was like 1903.
So not well.
I am not shitting you, dude. Like I think I tried to save this article. Oh, fuck. I don't know if I did. But it was just, they've got something they're starting up over there called the AEWA. I guess I don't know when they started it. But they're starting to try to get like a flyway-wide regulation system.
Mm. Oh, something like we have here.
Yeah, so the...
with Canada and Mexico.
Yeah, and they're like so... They're coming out with like these
God, that would harvest be a pain management in the ass, plans.
And they're going through... Like I'm reading this. They're going through country by country by country. And they're like, no info, no info, no info. Like,
can you imagine though the shit show that would be? I mean, here we have three countries you got to deal with. There, it's like... Their countries are like our states. I mean, some of those countries are the size of our states. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking. Here's the list of the countries that are in the AEWA. Albania.
Sounds like a pro wrestling group. Algeria,
Armenia, Austria, Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Belarus, Belgium, Bosnia, Bulgaria. I'm only in the B's.
I'm just in the B's.
Look how long it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And they all speak different languages and have different money and shit.
God. That would be so cool.
Ireland. I mean, yeah, it's just everywhere over there.
I'd go hunting in Ireland. That'd be pretty fun. Just get
I've heard that's
lit
fun
up
as
in the
fuck.
Pub after the hunt.
Dude, I know a guy from Michigan, a guide. He goes over there and hunts like once a year and shot a black gull or a humongous seagull that was banded. It's like, motherfucker.
Hmm. Do you know that you can go to Iceland and hunt? It's the only place left in the world you can legally hunt. Crap, what are those birds?
Puffins.
With puffins. Yeah,
yep,
there it is.
You can hunt puffins there. Also,
those would look good on the wall.
You can market hunt in Iceland as well. Like, if you shoot a bunch of geese, you can go sell them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Tickets to Reykjavik are like 500 bones.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all. Dude, I've paid more to fly to fucking Memphis.
Exactly. That's so cheap. I remember looking at tickets to Iceland, and it was, yeah, I think it was like 400 and some bucks at the time. I'm like, wait, what? How is it that shit? It's literally more for me to fly to Charleston than it is to I can go to Iceland.
Okay, let me read the definition. The Agreement on the Conservation of Africa Eurasian Migratory Water Birds is an intergovernmental treaty dedicated to the conservation of migratory water birds and their habitat across Africa, Europe, the Middle East, Central Asia, Greenland, and the Canadian archipelago.
That's a lot of territory.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of people to get on the same page. Like a lot.
Oh, yeah, look, they got a little map. Different... They just take, like, a pizza slice down the entire globe.
Yeah, it's just a globe. I mean, if you just Africa alone, think of all the different countries that are in Africa and how big Africa is. You can put all of the United States in there, Europe, South America. Like, people don't realize how giant Africa is as a landmass.
I just can't get over, huge. Like, how many geese are in Europe, like the 2 million figure. And I looked up square miles.
I love the variety. I mean, that's just awesome.
Yeah, there's barnacles, pinkfoots, white fronts.
Barheaded.
Barheads, apparently. I'd never heard of people shooting those over there on that side of Europe.
On that Dutch head.
That's a Pakistan
Dutch one,
they
say. Yeah, that's so cool.
I guess Pakistan's fucking dynamite, too. Some dude from the United Arab Emirates reached out to me once, like thinking I could take him on a guided hunt.
I think I follow somebody from...
Arab hunters?
Yeah, it's like a hunting page, and it's all Arab.
Yeah, they're about
it's crazy. Like, okay,
they
that's
seem
weird.
Like kind of just like us. Like instead of like good job, they're like
whatever their salute is. Jabba Jabba. Oh my god,
I don't know what they're saying, but they got their you know what they're saying with their inflections. Yes, you know what I mean? Like yes. It sounds like our inflections, except it's Durka Durka.
I wanna meet the Arabic Ted Nugent. I want to talk to the one that's so out there that like
right.
All the other mainstreamers hate.
Yeah, like the most flamboyantly fucking asshole. Probably got $27 billion in the bank.
Right.
Have you ever seen the Prince of Jordan's private hunting ground?
No.
Oh, dude, that's crazy. There are a couple two helicopter pads where he lands.
Really?
Yeah, a bunch of canals. It's just a green oasis in the desert.
Let's go.
And like, it's bordered by these creeks that wind. Like, they zigzag back and forth like some World War I trenches. I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So you can sneak around the corners and shoot the ducks off of it.
We could go to Russia. I just did the Russia story last week.
Okay.
But I'm guessing their species are pretty similar.
Well, they have barheads. And they also have mews, those mew ducks.
Of course, Russia, what are you talking? Western or Eastern Russia? Because Russia is ginormous,
it's
too.
Big.
I mean, if you're talking the, you know, about Kamchatka over there on the
I was talking
Pacific.
To Bobby Hayes, the guy who owns Ducklander Calls. down at Rogers last year, and he was saying that he, all of a sudden he started selling a fuckload of duck calls over to Russia. These dudes like reached out to him, and he said they had like mountains of teal that they were shooting. And they had AK-47s in all their photos. And he's like, what do you have those AKs for? Because it looks like you're in a pond, like in a northern Minnesota pond, yeah. Like the pine trees behind in the background.
Yeah, like a bog.
Yeah, and they said it's for the bears. I guess the bears out there are fucking vicious.
Yeah, they got the big Russian bears out there for sure. Those got to be it. And then if you go far enough north, you run into the polars too. So.
Yeah. Dude, there's a couple times the snow geese hatch doesn't pan out very well because a squad of polar bears will come in there and gorge on eggs for 6 weeks.
Annihilate them. That's crazy. Yeah, a Bacall teal is on my list, but I think they're protected. Even in Russia, I don't think you can shoot Bacalls.
Oh, really?
I'm guessing, but I think I read that somewhere.
I think there's one of those that came through Crex Meadows.
Or Falcated or whatever they're called. Those are pretty badass looking, too.
Yeah.
There's so many duck species. There was just one. Oh, pink-eared. Have you ever heard of a pink-eared
duck? I don't believe I
have. Look it up right now. I just saw it today. I don't know if it was Instagram or what. And I was like, what? Every time I see a duck that I haven't seen yet, I'm always like, how did this one slip past me all these years? It's like an even more flamboyant spoonie.
Oh, that looks kind of like a zebra ruddy duck.
But check out the bill. It's wide like a spoonie, but it actually has sides on it on the very end. It almost looks like an upside-down shoehorn.
That is a beautiful duck.
Dude, those are crazy.
Ha! Says zebra duck, just like I said. Oh, it's an Australian duck.
Ooh, let's go. Although everything native in Australia, I believe, is off-limits.
Huh. They got some crazy shit going on in Australia. I've seen they have protesters come out to, popular public hunting areas on opening days and stuff.
As far as I know, I don't think. Well, maybe you can hunt some native. I don't know. I thought the only thing you could hunt in Australia and New Zealand are like the non-native stuff.
I have no idea. I met that Hunter Morrow guy from New Zealand. He was in Arkansas guiding, and he said it was. I don't want to misquote him, but he was saying like New Zealand's just like the American Southwest, like attitude wise.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, when I'm not doing this, I'm doing rodeo.
That's awesome.
I guess the rodeo is huge in New Zealand. Yeah,
I can see that. They're all about that cowboy life out there.
What do you think wrestling, like professional wrestling is big there too?
I hope so. If it is, I might move. I still follow. I don't. Here's the weird thing about me now, like with social media, like I don't watch wrestling anymore because I don't have to. I get all the highlights right on the social media, and I just watch the matches that I want without the rigmarole.
I never watched it, but it's so popular in this area. Like, this is where it grew. Like, this is where the wrestlers
all
came
from. Oh, Minnesota? Yeah, there was
a
ton of wrestlers way back in the day. AWA.
There's this kid in my elementary school, Bel Air Tigers. And his name was Kevin Quenneman. He was in a wheelchair. He had some birth defect. And he won. He was like a super outgoing dude, though. Like, everybody liked him. He was really friendly. And he won a little make-a-wish thing or something like that, where he got to go to just this one wrestling match, I guess. And he just clicked with all the wrestlers, became friends with all of them.
That's awesome.
I guess my buddy Matt lived in the same trailer park as him. One day, like, there's a stretch limo driving down the road, and Hulk Hogan gets out, lets Kevin out, like, high five, catch you later, I'll pick you up for the next one. Like,
catch you later, brother.
Yeah, brother. Like, holy shit, dude. Wonder what
Eat your vitamins and say your prayers.
Anyways, back to ducks.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that stuff. Have you ever heard of the African pygmy goose?
Yes, I have.
I've seen a mounted one in that, out in Ortonville. You ever been to that place? The Ortonville Wildfowl Museum?
I have not.
Some dude who lived on that lake, Artichoke Lake, just tried to get the biggest collection ever of mounted birds. He's got a nini goose in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's mounted nini
goose. That's the one from Hawaii, isn't it?
Yeah, he killed it himself. Just kidding.
I was like,
I think some of it was like other museums donating
sure,
to his and
sure.
stuff. I have no idea, but they've got an audio tour with it. It's fucking sick.
Dude, I don't want to check that out. That would be sweet.
You ever go up to Ortonville and hunt?
I have once or twice we hunted out that way.
A lot
way,
of people go that way, and nobody goes to the museum. The place is awesome.
We need to put it on the map. Field trip. Let's go.
I'm down.
That'd be so much fun. We should get that guy on the podcast. That could be fun.
I do believe he's still alive.
I do believe.
I do believe.
What other Europe stuff can we throw in this episode?
Europe, man. All right, something people don't know about.
So what
Europe.
Do you know, like, for sure? Like, where can you hunt? What, like, what would you? What
here's
do you think
what
you
I know
need
about.
To do?
Here's what I know through my research, deep research, dude, like Alex Jones style.
Dark through the, my travels through the dark web.
The people there don't really know what the fuck they're doing.
I believe
it
that.
It took me a long time to find somebody who actually just looked like a goose hunter. You know what I mean?
Well, just even looking at that website, like the terminology they use, you're just like...
it's weird. It's really weird. There's some crazy good wood pigeon hunters over there and stuff, and they hunt woodcock like motherfuckers over there too. But like, to why aren't they killing these geese? And I think it's kind of a new thing for them.
Well,
it kind of
was. It's been illegal for so long, at least in the Netherlands.
And also just kind of across Europe, because that country was fucking ravaged after World War I and World War II. And people would murk the ducks and geese out.
Oh, could you imagine?
Yeah, like, they had a huge market hunting problem because
I bet
everybody needed food, right, basically, to bring back to their pile of rubble.
Well, and then add to it the habitat loss from just blowing up farm fields and
ponds everything.
Full of, who knows, probably diesel fuel. And I mean, that had to have a long-lasting effect on wildlife populations.
There's a couple dudes who do it real good in Sweden. South Sweden is really where you see some huge high volume hunts. These guys are hitting multiple 200 bird days per season.
Like, that's crazy to me. Like, that would be awesome, but honestly, like, the numbers part isn't like what drives my interest. It's the hunting in a strange land, kind of with people from a different culture. That would be cool.
100%.
But the different kinds of geese that we just don't have here. Like, you know, we start getting in the gray lags and the pink foots and the bar heads and the stuff that we just don't get here would be so cool.
I found this today. I took a screenshot.
Like an Egyptian goose? God, those things are... they don't even look like geese.
Okay, so... species, pink-footed goose. Type of marking, blue neckband. Number ringed.
What?
2,493. Okay, these are all neck bands on different geese, and I'll just do some numbers. 2,493, 2,219, 5,055, 2,569, 2,897.
This is how many are
1,364,
collared?
15, these are, these are neck bands. 15,738 colored leg rings on their brants they have out there. They've got 8,000 of those. There's a big study in Russia where they went in, they rounded up a bunch of barnacles that were nesting up in that peninsula in Russia, whatever it's called. But apparently they got 16,210 of them.
Kamchatka.
They put two plastic leg bands on, two color markers.
God.
9,037. Yeah, here's what I want. They got a lime green neck collar on white fronts.
Oh, cool.
That's the ones they only have. 1,300 of.
Only 1,300 collared.
The biggest.
Oh, my God.
The biggest, highest density of neck collars that I've been able to find in all my research in the United States. And actually, this is Canada. It's not even the United States. But I found an island, and it wasn't even the same study. It was like three different studies, and it totaled up to like 599, I think.
Dude, your chance of getting one, because then, now you're throwing in a lot of banded collared geese up there, and these hunts, the where you can hunt them, they're like liberal hunting, so like you're shooting, you know, lots of them, so I think you would have a pretty good chance at getting one of those, don't you think? Unless there's just that many birds.
Dude,
that...
I followed some dudes from Sweden, like they're out scouting, and you can see them like pull the binoculars up to their eyes, and their whole dashboard's lined with collars. A couple of them have GPS transmitters.
Oh,
like,
my God, let's go. I don't know where I'm going to find the money for, but let's figure it out. Quick trip to the red light district for make some money.
Wait, make some money? Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever.
Make some money to pay for the trip.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that'd be so cool.
And the thing about over there is they want people reporting these birds. They've got like 99% report rates on these birds.
Wow.
Yeah, like they want.
I mean, like, why wouldn't you? I don't understand people that get bans and don't report them. That's just weird.
No, yeah. So there's a lot more emphasis on like the citizen science stuff over there, and probably a lot less hunters.
I'm sure.
I know there's 6 million some hunters in Europe, but how many of them are goose hunters and how many are woodcock hunters.
Or fox and, you know, the fox and hound gentlemen, you know.
6.7 million hunters is a lot, though. Because what do we have? Like, I believe 30 million total.
Is that right?
I think it's one out of 100.
Let's see.
Like a 1% mark. We got, there, I know there's a million duck hunters. That's one out of 300.
In the U.S. 11.5 million hunters in 2016.
I was close. And there's like 650,000 goose hunters.
Wow. And they're all in Minnesota.
Yeah, they're all ruining my hunts.
And none of them know how to back up a trailer at the boat launch, apparently.
You'd have been proud of me. I snuck one in there so good the other day.
What do you mean?
At a boat ramp.
Oh.
Wasn't meant for two trucks, but I made
but
it
happen.
But
you made it happen. Attaboy.
I was trying to jet ski.
Ah, you're one of those. At least it wasn't a wakeboard. Those are the worst.
A wakeboard? Why?
Wake boats?
Are oh, the, wake boats.
They are the worst. The worst.
They're fun to jump your jet ski in their wake.
They're the worst.
Why don't you just get a jet ski and play nice?
Right, because a jet ski doesn't create that big of a wake. Here's the thing I hate with
no,
this
just
total tangent. But if you have a wake boat, you are an asshole because your pastime, and this is coming from like the serial libertarian, like if it's legal, do it by all means. But the problem with wake boats is that you're creating a hassle for every other person that's recreating on that lake, whether they want big waves or not. Like when I go, when I'm on plane in my bass boat, I hardly even create a wake. It's tiny.
So maybe just use it in a more remote location.
Just don't use them. They should be banned. I hate them. They're the worst. You're
be
on there
banned,
trying to.
Huh?
I'm
you
just kidding.
Fucking literal.
I know. They just irritate me so much. The other thing is too, the people that operate them are usually the most inexperienced captains
Dude,
on the water.
That's because they're trying to get pussy, not learn 16. How to boat.
Exactly.
All right. Just give them some slack. All right.
I won't.
That's pussy's not a bad habit either.
Yeah. Well, find a better way. Learn how to sing works for me.
Get a jet ski.
Get a jet ski. Jet skis are great. I have no problem with jet skis unless they buzz right next to me, which is pretty irritating. But
man,
that's just common. That's just common courtesy.
I just keep trying to learn more and more about this Europe spot, though, and I don't know. It's fun to research that shit, man. Oh, the mallard hunts there, too, the night mallard hunts.
Night mallard hunts?
Yeah, they do night migrator hunts, and is big in France.
Oh, my God.
And then in Sweden, they also do, like, high-volume mallard drives. So you'll see, like, piles of, like, 400 mallards they shoot in an afternoon.
That's
You're like, wait, how do you shoot? I've been on pigeon hunts where we shot 400. I'm like, how the fuck would you do that with mallards? And so what they do is they build ponds that like have a escape route, so the ducks have to funnel out the escape route, and then to attract them there, they fill these ponds with corn, and then they put out calling decoys to
calling ducks.
Yeah, calling ducks to get it to come in.
God,
it works.
Wow, like basically they do everything you absolutely could not do here. Like you would, whatever you would do here to lose your hunting rights for life, that's what they do there as a
tradition,
normal practice.
Yeah, it's a tradition. You do that a year, yeah. You never work in the hunting industry again.
Over.
For good reason. There's reasons we made these laws.
Exactly.
And there's a reason why lots of countries over there have illegal hunting, because they shot the fuck out of everything.
Right.
And now they can't do anything. Like, you look at, like, the geese and the duck trends in the United States, or in our flyways, at least, our four flyways. They're trending upwards over the last 30 years, and we have 3 billion less birds, I think, than we did 20 years ago.
Right?
Birds. Yes, it is right. Like, it's not like just some hippy-dippy shit that somebody came up with, apparently, because radar, it's called radar aeroecology. So they're taking these Doppler radars, and they figured out how to key it in on birds and bird movement, like what ways birds are actually traveling. Because these Doppler radars, they've been out for like 30, 40 years. And they are sensitive enough to pick up a drop of water. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, they're going to find a bird.
They see rain.
Right.
So they can see birds, too. So now, like, they've just kind of figured out how to... This is brand new shit. So now they're like, well, holy cow, we have 30 years of database.
A different way of estimating numbers, yeah.
Like, now that we know how to kind of decipher what's birds, what's not birds, now they can go and... through all the historical data, and they, like, it is not bullshit. I guess they're saying, like, we have a significant decrease in the amount of like songbirds and that sort of thing.
Well, there's a lot more of those windmills going up. Those are rumored to kill a lot of birds.
I don't know, because a lot of cats, those Tweety birds fucking cats, they migrate man. High as fuck, I guess. They're high altitude migrators. Oh, really? Yeah. Then they point giant microphones into the sky because they don't know what species is flying up there.
They're trying to get their calls.
They can just see it's birds going north. And yeah, and they'll pick up the calls and then identify the species.
Hmm. That's interesting.
It's really crazy.
There's one. Well, this is almost a separate subject, but I heard it repeated to me in the snow goose field this year that hummingbirds don't migrate, but that they hitch rides on Canada geese.
Yeah, I've heard Rick Ham say that. It's
complete and utter bullshit.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to Google.
they literally don't migrate. It's same. Why would, when the geese get here, they're standing on ice. There's still snow around. Hummingbird's going to starve. Where's the flower? They need nectar to survive. There are no flowers for another month yet, at least.
Yeah, and there's only one hummingbird that nests, I think, east of the Missouri River, and that's the ruby-throated.
That's
what we have. And it's like they nest in like Minnesota, northern or southern Canada, and then they go down to Louisiana. Maybe?
That's crazy. Like you go to any of those southern, not any of them, but most southern states have multiple different kinds of hummingbirds.
The ones like the southwestern states. Yeah, Arizona's there's a lot got a of different shit kinds. Ton of them. Yeah. I see them on my rare bird reports all the
Pretty
time.
Pretty cool.
Like some Argentinian hummingbirds spotted
big,
in Texas.
Big, long, like twin tails on them and shit.
Yeah, they're cool looking. Yeah.
Super cool looking.
We'd have a fuckload of hummingbirds at our feeders all the time.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. But anything else you want to add to the European waterfall edition?
Let's fucking go.
We good? We good on that one?
I just need to find the right country that's got a perfect mixture of legalized high limits.
I think it's Netherlands. We just got to do
drugs,
a little.
Drugs. Yeah, dude.
Let's just send them an email and see what we get back from them. We'll do a follow-up episode once we have some actual knowledge. Like, can you actually hunt? I'm pretty certain you can. I know I read an article when they went from, it was banned, and then they're like, we have a problem. There's too many of them.
You can hunt Denmark. If you can't hunt the Netherlands, you can hunt Germany, Poland, right. Kaliningrad.
Just get around it.
Estonia.
They got so many birds, it's ridiculous. But all right, that one's that. We're going to wrap this one up. This has been the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast, Waterfall Wednesday with Nick J. Thanks, everybody, for joining. Hey, if you got some waterfall lovers out there that you know and they are not aware of the Waterfall Wednesday or Full Scale Outdoors Podcast, let them know. Share it with your buddies. Keep it going around. Don't forget, if you have a beard, if you're thinking about growing a beard, take care of that some bitch. Go to thebeardstruggle.com, put in code FULLSCALE15 at checkout. Save yourself 15%. Thank you again for listening. Whatever your passion, especially if it's waterfowl, pursue it. Full Scale.
Hey everyone, Will Cooper here, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of hunting and outdoor pursuits. We've brought together some of the most accomplished individuals in the industry to share their invaluable insights and experiences with you. But here's the kicker. It's not just about hunting tips and tactics. We're exploring how you can carve your own path, elevate your skills, and gain some wisdom from the best in the field. So whether you're a seasoned hunter looking to fine-tune your skills or a newbie eager to learn, our podcast has something for everyone. Stay tuned for more exciting guests and hotter topics. Don't miss out and subscribe to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast today and start making your mark in the great outdoors.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the sky.